Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were, Wednesday in it, yes, middle of the week, and we started off with our girlfriend Vivian talking about the homeless migrant who stole the FDNY boat, and after he was released, he attempted immediately on his wild journey again down the Hudson as he tried to steal the floating restaurant on Pier 66. Now, he tried to get on the boat by saying he left his passport and demanded that he get back on the ship. Didn't work. They were on him, all over him, and he was arrested again. And it's really, really, really bad because, you know, again, we're talking about these people who commit these crimes, and before you know it, they're back at it again. And this is just another case of that. You know, once they get released, it doesn't make any difference. They're back doing the same things they've been doing. What does this say about our justice system? You know, he was charged with 2 counts of grand larceny. Now, the cops are saying that they can't do anything about this because there's some issue going on at the top. Well, isn't it always that? They always complain and all they do is lock them up and before they know it, they're back out on the street. Well, whether you're illegal or not, it's the same situation. Next story, Mr. Mayor Adams is back in the news again, but this time something a little different. You know, the domestic violence individuals are getting some attention now. They're trying to get more shelters. They're trying to get more shelters out there, as they're saying that there are 700 acts of violence that go through every single day. Every 2 minutes, a report of domestic violence comes through. So they're trying to get these, you know, victims of domestic violence and their families, you know, some new housing, get them out of the shelter system. And, you know, we lift the, and raise the roof for Mr. Mayor Adams as the affordable housing will be expanded just for them. Well, nice. Nice. We hope that, you know, it's something that can be safe. You know, my thought was the same way they're offering these migrants an opportunity to relocate. I wonder if they do that for these domestic violence families. That would be nice, right? Yeah, that way, you know, the spouses don't, you know, track them down and sometimes harm them even more. Well, oh, Gen Zs, the Generation Zs, they claim that they are going broke. And they're blaming social media. Now, when I say them, I don't mean the Gen Zs. But reports say that they're going broke and they're blaming social media because they're saying that, you know, 62% of them are complaining that they feel pressured to keep up. You know, the credit card debt is double the amount of the millennials. Well, we had a very interesting response about this particular item yesterday. And I don't know, you know. They say they're going broke. Social media is doing it. You know, I don't know. You know, this is, there's an option here. How are you going broke over something you could help? No, get on up and get yourself moving. Well, the squatting problem is not just the little people's problem. Yes, oh, famous chef Gordon Ramsay has a problem as well. Yes, woo-wee. These squatters have taken over his restaurant. Can you imagine that? Someone taking over your restaurant, and you're not even supposed to live in a restaurant. So it's like, how does that even happen? Well, someone yesterday, one of our loyal listeners, sent me the sign that was on the door. Yeah, let me see if I can pull it up. Or did I lose it? Oh, hold on, let me see. Because I think you'd be real interested in what these people had this sign on the door saying. Ooh, okay. So, I had to read this to you. The sign on the door said, "Take notice that we occupy this property and at all times, there is at least one person in occupation. That if you attempt to enter by violence or by threatening violence, we will prosecute you. You may receive a sentence of up to 6 months imprisonment and or fine of up to $5,000. That if you want to get in, oh, if you want to get us out, you will have to issue a claim for possession in the county court or in the high court." The occupiers. Yo, these people have lost their minds. They have lost their ever-loving mind. Can you imagine? You own in a restaurant, and you wake up one day to that? Yo. Yeah, that came from the internet. These people are going buck wild. This is what you endure, whether you have a home or whether you have a restaurant. Yeah. Well, you know, we hope that these squatters' laws really change. Because, you know, when you can take over a restaurant, they've really allowed you to get way too far. Well, that's how we spent our day yesterday. Yep. Wow, Wednesday. So today is Therapeutic Thursday, the day we talk about our health, whether good, whether bad, whether it's physical health, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever it is, we talk about it. So get yourselves together. Go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
An STD? Me? In the U.S., more than half of chlamydia and gonorrhea diagnoses occur among people aged 15 to 24.
And common STDs may go undetected in more than 4 out of 5 women, even during a regular exam.
Left untreated, infections can lead to long-term consequences like infertility.
But it turns out, getting tested is easy, and there are simple treatments available for most common STDs. Visit knowingwithquest.com to learn more.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah, today we talk about our health. And giving God thanks that he woke us up today. And we are on the second half of the week, everybody. Well, let's get this morning started with our health tip. Let's see what we're talking about. Well, those of us who like Schweppes Zero Sugar Ginger Ale, they have a recall on it. Yeah, 230 cases of the sugar and caffeine-free ginger ale, they say, were voluntarily recalled for being filled with sugar. Now, this may very well cause some hazard and unsafe conditions for some consumers. Well, they say the recall includes items shipped to Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia. So go on the internet and get that lot number, product code. And they say again, as always, if you purchased one of these cases, please throw it away, you know, so you don't get sick. And they say, especially those of us who monitor our blood sugar, all right? So that is Schweppes Zero Sugar Ginger Ale. All righty. Let's see what else they're talking about here. Well, we've got two recalls in one, if you will. There's PFAS in New York drinking water, and that's a toxic chemical that they have found in some drinking water. They say PFAS is often called forever chemicals because they can linger in the environment for long periods of time and are nearly impossible to destroy. And they say the first in the nation new rule hopes to eliminate cancer-causing chemicals from drinking water in New York. And they say that this may affect around 100 million Americans, including many in the Hudson Valley. And they say that they hope that people who live near Washington Lake in Newburgh, which has been affected by PFAS from firefighting foam. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They say PFAS has been linked to a range of severe health problems, causing cancers, liver, and heart damage, and developmental impacts in children. So they say that some studies determine that PFAS might affect people's health in the following ways. Adversely affect growth, learning, and behavior of infants and children. Lower a woman's chance of getting pregnant. Interfere with the body's natural hormones. Increase cholesterol levels. Affect the immune system, increase the risk for some cancers. And they say it can also lead to cancer, fetal abnormalities, high cholesterol, thyroid, liver, and reproductive disorders. Now, this same PFAS has been found in high levels of seafood. So they say some people who often eat seafood may have an increased risk of being exposed to PFAS. So they say, it's at level 26 of most popular seafood like cod, haddock, lobster, salmon, scallop, shrimp, and tuna. Now that salmon is on every list we get. So I don't know. Gotta watch out. And they're even saying, wow. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They're even saying that it's very heavy in lobster and shrimp. So if that's what you're eating, beware. What else? Got one more. All right. They say the dietitians tell us that three artery-clogging fast food items can be bad for our health. So let's see what these three items are. I did look at the first one. And for those of us who love that Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, they say, this chicken can sometimes be compared to the effects of red meat. The sodium content of this sandwich could lead to serious health risks when eaten on a regular basis. So they say this one Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich has 440 calories, 19 grams of fat, and a whopping 1370 milligrams of sodium. Whoa. That's a lot of salt for one sandwich. Wow. So they say if you're, you know, trying to keep your heart health together, please stay away from the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. They say a single sandwich puts you at over half your recommended daily intake of sodium by itself. If you get fries as a side, that's worse. And they remind us that consuming too much sodium can lead to hypertension and increase the risk of developing heart disease. Plus, all of that saturated fat can clog arteries. So again, if you eat that on a regular basis, beware. Let's see what else. Ooh, the Big Mac from McDonald's. They say those two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun will add up to a lot of calories, fat, sodium, and making this burger a recipe for disaster in terms of cardiovascular health. This particular burger contains 540 calories, 27 grams of fat, 960 milligrams of sodium. Now, this has less sodium than the chicken, and this is beef. And then, you know, they always tell us to eat the chicken over the beef. Well, that Chick-fil-A sandwich is definitely not making it on the, you know, on the top above this Big Mac. And they say most foods high in saturated fat can clog our arteries, restricting our blood flow. This happens because our body's bad cholesterol increases due to the high saturated fat content. So, those LDL cholesterol can accumulate on the walls of our arteries and cause blockages. Wow. All right, and lastly, I think this is the third one. They say that those loaded fries are the worst fast food options that can clog your arteries. They say while French fries taste really good, they are high in calories and increase cholesterol in your blood. Now, they're saying there's several reasons for this, starting with the oil that the French fries are cooked in. Say cooking foods in hot oil make them absorb oil, which increases the calorie count. Reusing oil also causes it to break down, which could result in more oil absorption. Wow. So, they say the added consequences of all the toppings on the loaded fries. They say when you put cheese and other toppings like bacon on French fries, they increase the calorie count. They're also high in saturated fat and sodium, which is bad for heart health. And it is definitely going to affect us in the long run. So there you have it. Eating on a regular basis, that Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, that Big Mac from McDonald's, and those loaded fries. And they have a picture here with cheese and meat and all that good stuff. All that good stuff. All right. So, you know, this is our health. And, you know, Shantice and I were talking about how good it is and how great God has been to us, because he's given us our natural, you know, alternatives to have good health. You know, we're fighting a whole lot of health issues, especially as you get older. And a lot of young people are getting ill. Now think about it. Let's talk about this thing. When you give kids that hot food, like those Takis and things, you know, the other day I was saying to myself, can you imagine what it's doing to these little bodies that haven't even had a chance to develop? And they're eating these hot Takis and, you know, you're giving them those hot wings and, you know, some of these kids eat this stuff on a regular basis. I actually know women who don't cook and all they do is buy, like, fast food, or they'll buy food that you can easily prepare that goes in the microwave and all that kind of stuff. And really, you know, if that's you, please take a cooking class, because you're starting your children off, you know, with bad bodies. And you're wondering why people's bodies are breaking down earlier and earlier. And that's because, you know, we're not feeding them, or you're not feeding them properly. So we got to make sure we give these kids a fighting chance. You know, yesterday we were talking about back in the day and, you know, the baby boomers and the Gen Ys. You know, we grew up on food. You know, they always talk about Big Mama. Big Mama cooked. Your mama cooked. You didn't have a bunch of fast food and, you know, quick food. They got in that kitchen and they cooked. And you see the breakdown even in the mothers of today. You know, we've been talking about these parents, and they have really, really, as my mother would say, gone to the dogs. Oh, my goodness gracious. Her sayings, yeah, it's so bad. And this is what's happening to our children. And when they get older, they're getting sicker. Sicker and sicker, and earlier, and earlier, and earlier. So, what are we talking about this morning? I have to tell y'all, there wasn't a whole lot of diversity in the news. All I saw was just like murders and deaths, and so pardon me today if we don't have, like, a whole lot of different type stories. But I'm going to try to, you know, talk about this stuff in the nicest way I can. I don't know how, because I'm lost here. So they have this case, which is really, you know, these people with these scams are really getting worse. So you have this Uber driver who, 81 years old, who's been charged with murder after shooting. Okay, let me start all over again. You have this 80-year-old man in Ohio who's been charged with shooting an Uber driver, a woman. And this was really, just really a sad story. So allegedly happened was, let's start from this side of the story. They say that this 81-year-old man got a phone call and said he needed to pay $12,000 to get his nephew out of jail. So he then told the police, he called the police and told them that he had gotten a call and that the caller threatened to kill him and his nephew if he didn't pay the ransom. So they say clearly the same caller called or used the Uber app, rather, to have someone pick up a package from his house, the one who had received the call. So she gets there. This is the Uber driver. She gets there, and she's not realizing what's already happened. And she asks him about the package that she supposedly is there to pick up. So he holds her at gunpoint. He demands to know who these people are who called him. She has no idea what he's talking about. He then took her phone, refused to allow her to leave, but unfortunately, he didn't call anybody. He didn't call back the police and say, hey, I just called and, you know, I said that somebody is threatening to kill me and my nephew, blah, 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 blah. And she tried to, you know, scuffle with him. And he ends up shooting her. And needless to say, she lost her life. Now, they're charging him with murder, which they say carries a penalty of 15 years to life in prison. And they're considering some other charges. And they have him actually held on bail for $200,000. Now, I'm a little surprised at this, y'all, because he's an elderly man on the other side of the fence. And they've actually arraigned him, and they're holding him. I was very surprised about that one because there's nobody who could have told me that they weren't going to let him go. Nobody. So, again, they are warning people, especially elderly people, because if you remember, we talked about this last year, year before then. Please, if you have these people who are calling you, telling you that your loved ones are in jail and, you need money for bail or, you know, these people are holding your family, just call the police and let them do whatever it is, whatever the investigating is that they need to do. Let them do the investigating because this was really a tragedy. Really, 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 this was really a tragedy and something that could have been prevented. You know, you're calling this elderly person and he's not in his right frame of mind. So it's really, really sad. Really sad. What else do we have? We have this South Florida pastor. Unfortunately, he was murdered at the church. Boy. So in Miami, they always call it Miami-Dade County, they have the stabbing of Pastor Antoine Lenore, and they've arrested 44-year-old James Dawkins. And somehow, you know, this pastor, did he let him in. He let him stay at the church because he didn't have a place to stay. And they ordered the changing of the lock for the church doors, and he and the pastor somehow got into some verbal altercation, and this Dawkins ended up stabbing the pastor, killing the pastor, who had a wife and children, and tried to flee, but they caught him. And, you know, this is another devastating occurrence. You know, you let these people come live with you. You let these people come live in the church. You know, they knew him well. They thought, you know, everything was okay. But, you know, they have not heard any details about what happened. You know, what happened with the altercation, why they were arguing. So sad. So sad. So sad. All right. So, you know, have I said this week that the people have lost their mind? So you have this 60-year-old anesthesiologist in Dallas who has been given a guilty verdict because he's been tampering and messing with the IV bags at a local surgical center. And they say it's resulted in one fatality and multiple cardiac emergencies in 2022. They say this Dr. Ortiz was convicted on four counts of tampering with consumer products, resulting in serious bodily injury, one count of tampering with consumer product, and five counts of intentional adulteration of a drug. Now, this sentencing, it says, carries a maximum potential of 190 years in prison. Now, he already in his 60s, 60 years old. So they say that his colleague, some female colleague, also an anesthesiologist, administered an IV bag to herself for dehydration, and that resulted in immediate fatality. So he had clearly messed with that particular IV bag while she was administering, you know, an IV bag to herself for dehydration. I don't know. You ain't supposed to be doing all of that. Now, this is a local surgical center. This is not even like it's in an ER. And, oh, my gosh. They say an 18-year-old patient underwent a routine sinus surgery but was swiftly moved to the intensive care unit in critical condition post-procedure requiring intubation because some medical emergency happened when they tampered with the IV bag, and they said this was a continual thing. Now, they said that they found Vacaine, I don't know what that is. Epinephrine, I've heard of that before. Lidocaine in the teen's system. Why? What? Why? Why are we putting these things into the IV bags? I mean, people have lost their mind. If you don't think you need the Lord, I think about how many times I have had a bag of IV hung over my head, and it was just changed and changed and changed and changed and changed. This is, you can't trust anybody. You cannot trust anyone. Everyone is a potential crazy Looney Tune. Every single person. All right, here we go with the bad mamas again. So you have this St. Louis mama. You have the St. Louis mama who they say made her 8-year-old son drive her and her toddler because whiskey was passed out from drinking. So because she couldn't drive the car because she was heavily intoxicated, they say she instructed her 8-year-old to drive the car for her. She was in the rear of the car, unconscious, and the baby, 3 years old, was in the car seat. No, they say he was unsecured in the back seat. I tell you. Oh, okay. Now here. This was what the lawyer said. That she was raising her 2 children. She worked as a home health aide and cares for an elderly homebound grandparent. So she was released with a bond hearing. Now, if she did this with the children, knowing that she had to drive these kids and instructed the 8-year-old to drive because she couldn't, why would I release her to do anything? That I'm supposed to be moved as a judge, that she's a home health aide and she cares for an elderly homebound grandparent. Well, wasn't she supposed to be caring for the 8-year-old and the 3-year-old? No, I'm sorry. You're not getting out on anything. You're going to sit behind bars and you're going to think about what you did. What judge lets you out after this? Well, you know what? Judges ain't judges no more. This is clear. And this is why I say, you know what? Lawyers be damned. I'm telling you, they are disgusting. They anything for a dollar. Anything to get your money. Anything to get money. What kind of mess is that? That you're going to stand there and petition? You know, I can't take these people. I cannot take these people. They are something else. They will do anything. I told you we had crazy news today. There was nothing weird or like different to talk about. Nothing different to talk about. I got one more story to give you, and this one is another sad story. Well, they have a couple out in Florida, and they've been married for 55 years. Well, for some reason, this Walter Lee Davis, 78, was told he could not drive. And when he attempted to drive, the wife stopped him. Well, they say that he's been accused of 1 count of battery on a person over the age of 65. That this happened in the afternoon, in the middle of the day. He wanted to go out driving. He told her so. She told him no. He had been told not to drive. She's 78 years old. And he beat her up. They said when they found her, she had cut on her nose, cut on her eye, and had a contusion to the back right of her head that was visibly red. And he told them that he wanted to drive their vehicle, but she did not allow him to do so. So that's how he handled that situation. Let me talk to my due time crew, because it just can't be me today. It just can't be me. It just can't be me. Where's my Pastor KL? Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you, Pastor KL. I think we're in the week of They've Lost Their Mind, because I don't think we had one sane story this week. One sane story. How are you over there in good old Alabama?
I'm doing all right with the good old boys.
All righty. All right, we start off with the Uber driver and the 81-year-old man and this mutual scam. So he gets the phone call from a scammer who says he needs $12,000 for his nephew to be released, or they're going to kill him and the nephew. They then order an Uber and send them over to this man's house. A woman shows up, asks him for the package that she's supposed to pick up. He, in turn, pulls a gun on her. Somehow or another, he ends up shooting her, like, multiple times and killing her. That's our first story of the day, Pastor KL.
Well, as much as I love my nephews, you know, we had to take a chance. I just don't believe I'm going to get out. First of all, you know, money's too hard to come back. You know, I work many, many hours. And, you know, these young people are a little different. So it depends on how he live. You know, you bad. Let's see how you get out of this situation. why must I be pulled into your shenanigans? How did you ever even get into this kind of thing? You know, so I'm like, hey, you know, he pray every day. He going to heaven. You know, just do what you need to do.
You know, I remember a couple of years ago this started and hit the news when they were saying that, you know, people were targeting family members, but specifically elderly family members, because, you know, they generally, you know, they panic and they go get the money. You know, they
right.
I remember there was a particular story about a couple of grandchildren. And, you know, they rely on these, you know, elderly people not to, you know, really go through much details. And, you know, they just go to the bank and get the money. And, unfortunately, you know, this was a terrible cross. I'm sure they didn't even, well, not that they care, but I'm sure they didn't even consider that something like this would happen.
Right. And then, you know, you got to look at the other side. You know, depending on how the nephew lives, he could have been part of it. He could have been a sinner. He could have said, hey,
yeah,
my grandparents got some
money. Yeah.
Give him a call.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right.
And this is the same Pookie who wouldn't take out the garbage, who wouldn't mow the lawn for you, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
who wouldn't wash the dishes. No, I'm
yep.
not sending you $3. No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yep, $12,000. Now, a couple of years ago, that was the story where the grandparents
mm-hmm.
got the phone call, and it was a girl. It was a girl behind this whole thing. The granddaughter was actually behind this scam. So you're right. Sometimes, you know, it's their own family. It's their own
right,
family.
Right. Mm. I'd have had to give them my password to Zoom. Hey, put them on Zoom. Let me see what you got going on over there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to tell you, my $12,000, it wasn't easy to come by. Somebody
Listen.
Would have to prove that you had my nephew.
Even that, you know, or if I made a mistake judge-wise, I'd give you $500 on a burial. I still got $11,500.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, this is, you know, you got to be careful. They're sending out that warning again to people. Please don't fall for the okey-dokes. Don't, you know, plan to give these people. Now, you call, but here's the interesting part, and I'm going to talk about this because I to you and, you know, the Due Time crew. When he saw her, she's on this side of the fence, so immediately, you know, he must have thought that she was up to no good. You show up asking for a package, a box, and he ends up not being let out. But this is, you hold her up and you ask her and demand that, you know, she tell you who these people are behind this scam. Yeah, I'm sure that has something to do with the color factor. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You held up. They have a picture of them. I don't know where they got the picture from. But, yeah, they got this picture of him holding this long gun and demanding and somehow or another. You know, she was probably going to get shot anyway. She probably
right.
gonna get shot
right.
anyway. Mm. All right, Pastor KL, you've got this St. Louis mom who's been charged with I can't remember what they charged her with. Something with the kids, you know how they do. Well, the lawyer tells them that she's raising two children. She works as a home health aide and cares for an elderly homebound grandparent. So please let her out with a bond hearing. But she's in there because she told the 8-year-old to drive the car because she couldn't, because she was drunk and passed out. Not only was she responsible for putting the boy in the seat to drive the car, but the baby was in the back with her, 3 years old, did not have a seatbelt on. Should they have let her out? Because she's caring for people.
She ain't caring for nobody. She don't
right.
care. That's the problem. You know what I mean? I mean, you've already, first of all, you don't care about you. Because once you put your 8-year-old behind the wheel, you saying
right.
suicide.
Right.
You know, so
right.
you don't care about you, so you definitely don't care about your children. Is that at the point where you say, well, if I'm going to die, my children are going to die with me. You know, let's take a chance. No.
Mm.
And then the elderly people, you can't take care of kids. I know you can't take care of the elderly.
Right. Right.
No. You should go to jail for a long time. You know, you can have the top bunk if you want to. You know, we'll let you have your preference. But that's it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine them letting her out on a bond hearing. And you're sitting on the bench, and you really think that she's reliable? Oh, give me a break already. Give me
right,
a
right,
break
right.
already. This is scary. It's scary. You know, we got to talk about the doctor. We got to talk about the doctor, the anesthesiologist, who has tampered putting 3 different drugs inside of the IV bags for these people who are undergoing surgery. They say he's facing up to 190 years in jail. Who does this kind of stuff? Why would you just arbitrarily put these things in an IV bag?
Hold on, Lisa. I'm really not understanding this at all. I mean, there's been many times, you know, and now I'm starting to question stuff because, you know, I've had a couple of IVs and I felt high, you know, as a pipe. You know, I'm starting to wonder what they put in my IV.
No,
you
right.
know, but now we trying to kill people on purpose. I mean, I don't know. Did they feel it'll make you mellow out more? I mean, this stuff right here, that's murder. he should get every day of the years that he's sentenced for.
Absolutely. This is really, it's scary because it's unprovoked. It's just no reason for you to do this kind of stuff. I don't know. Man, we are so vulnerable, Pastor KL. We are so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Every little thing we have to watch out for. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's go talk to your girl, Shantice, and see what she has to say. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. I am well, thank you. I am well. All right, Shantice, we've got this Uber driver situation where there's this scam. She walks up on a man who is already feeling threatened because they have told him they're going to kill him and the nephew if he does not pay this $12,000. And little does she know what she's walking up on. What do you think?
How do we just go from you supposed to be a cab driver to now we're coming up with this plan to hold somebody for ransom? You don't get enough rides during the day. It's just like, but you know that everybody knows whether you're a straight-up criminal, whether you're a law-abiding citizen, everybody knows that everybody is just extremely unpredictable now. So even with you feeling like I'm a criminal, I'm going to do this to somebody, you still have to watch your back. You still got to watch your back from whoever you're doing this with.
No, she was innocent. She wasn't a part of the plan. It was a double scam. So they scammed him by calling him and telling him they need the $12,000 or they would kill him and the nephew that, you know, he should get this $12,000 for. And then they used an Uber app to send any driver over there to the house to pick up a package. And that's what she walked up on. That's why he was so fearful when she walked up asking for a package.
See? And that, you know what that reminds me of? Remember I told you that I know someone who they drive Uber and Lyft, and mm-hmm. they were sent to pick something up. And I was like, I don't want to be on the phone with you while you're going to pick this up. Because we don't know what that is. I don't need the feds calling me because they didn't trace your phone. And they're talking about, well, when we did the time, we saw that Q was on here. No, that may have to be something that they cut out.
Yeah.
That really have to be something that they cut out. Because I don't know when it became a thing, but out of nowhere, I remember the first time I got, oh, well, just put it in an Uber. I'm going to send an Uber to pick it up. What? And I'm like, you trust the Uber driver with whatever it is. You know, we do it embroidery. And I think that's one of the first times I heard it. Like, oh, I can't physically come and pick it up from you, but I'm going to send an Uber to come get it. And I'm like, listen, this ain't got no insurance. So I'm not running this again. Let me just let you know. If he see these shirts and he likes it and he decides to drive off into the sunset with your order, I'm not running it again. So just understand what you're doing. If you're that busy where you can't come pick up your order, that is between you and whatever name pop up on your Uber app. I ain't got nothing to do with that. So that may have to be something that they cut out because that's ridiculous. That's horrible. And, you know, it's bad enough you have to be mindful of who gets in your car as an Uber and Lyft driver. Now you got people asking you to go pick. Now I gotta approach you to come. No, the Uber driver didn't have to come to me. I met the car outside as if I was getting in. And I just said, okay, this is going to whatever address you got there. Simple. Mm. They didn't have to get out and ask me anything. So what kind of thing? Yeah, no. That makes it, just cut that out.
Yeah, I thought so too, because I'm saying to myself, I wouldn't have, you know, I'm not picking up a package. First of all, I don't know what's in the package.
Right.
I have no idea what's in the package, whether it's something toxic, whether it's something illegal. I'm not picking up something, at least a person I can see. I'm not picking up anything in a package that I don't know what it is or anything like that. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. Mm-mm. That's out. And I've heard of people sending shoes mm-hmm. and all kinds of things. No, we good. We good. All right. We're talking about this doctor, this anesthesiologist, who's drugging people through an IV bag.
Hmm. What have we come to? And like Dr. Kale said, I'm the one time being in there, and they were supposed to have given me something really mild. And I was like, well, how mild is this mild? Because I'm feeling extra woozy. So now you're mixing. Yeah, I was just like, I wasn't in there for no surgery. I wasn't, you know, they didn't check my vitals, and something was concerning. I don't remember why I was there, but it wasn't anything like, oh, well, you know, well, we saw this, so now we have to give you this. And next thing I knew, I was just seeing double of stuff, and I felt like I was talking gibberish and all that. And anybody knows you're not supposed to be mixing. We're not even supposed to be, like, if I'm home, if you're home and you take a Tylenol at 5 o'clock, you can't even take another Tylenol at 6. So what are you doing mixing stuff? What kind of amusement? So are you mixing this and then you stand on the sideline with some popcorn just waiting to see how the person going to act? Like, what's the satisfaction for you in doing that?
I think that's the scary part for me. It's just unprovoked, and you're just doing this over and over and over and over again to people. And I don't know. You know, so suffice it to say that if you're in a hospital and or something, whatever you need, an emergency room, and you start feeling bad, then you need to speak up. You need to definitely speak up, because clearly these people cannot be trusted. You know, you think that, you know, oh, well, I'm not going to say anything. I don't know. I guess, you know, I'm supposed to be feeling like this. I mean, I am here because I'm sick. But no, if you start feeling ill, then speak up and say something, because you can't assume anything. All right, I got a question. This 8-year-old driver who was pulled over, I don't even know, they don't even say how or if the cops rolled up on him. They don't say anything. They just talk about her. But this mother, 28 years old, her name is LaTanya Mays Gale. That doesn't leave me very hopeful that it's not on this side of the fence. She puts an 8-year-old in the car with the 3-year-old, and she's let out because she has to, because she's raising her 2 children, because she's she works as a home health aide and cares for the elderly. She also is caring for an elderly homebound grandparent. Is that enough to release you? Did I lose you?
Wait, who are you calling, Dr. Steph?
You. What do you mean, who am I calling?
Oh, my phone. I'm sorry. My phone went out, so I'm sorry.
You got something in that IV. Something's in
the
IV.
Oh, my goodness. We right in the middle of a conversation, and she wants to know who. I'm believing. So what's going on in your neck of the woods? Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, did you hear what I said?
I didn't hear the question.
I was asking, do you think she should have been released because she was taking care, raising her two children, she works as a home health aide, cares for the elderly, as well as an elderly homebound grandparent?
Absolutely not. So you say, oh, I did all this, I did all that, but meanwhile, look at what the kids are doing. No. No. So how is this actually so on point here, but then in here, this is what's happening. So everyone is supposed to just ignore the fact that they're about to be a part of the set it off, what's it called? Remake. About to trilogy, but they didn't have a part two yet. Set it off remake, but listen, but over here, I'll take care of this one, I'll take care of that one. Well, what happened with you taking care of them? No.
Mm-mm-mm.
One doesn't
all right.
offset the other.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Thank you for indulging me on my news stories. I have you two and you two alone today. So, I have several stories, but there's two that I definitely want to run past you two. So, my husband's best friend, and this is someone who wrote in. You know, now I feel like after the crack thing, I have to qualify everything I say. It is not me. It is not my husband. It is not my husband's best friend. Okay? So please do not start texting my people. Don't start calling and asking. It is not me. Okay? My husband's best friend. This is... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so, dear so-and-so, my husband's best friend, Kevin, quote-unquote, lost his wife 3 years ago. He's currently in a relationship with his niece, his deceased brother's daughter. Kevin is in his 60s. She's in her 50s. We as a family find this disgusting and do not condone it. Do we talk to them about it? Shantice, I'm going to give this to you first.
I'm my own grandpa. Everybody, of course. Of course you talk to them. What are you supposed to do? Just hold your tongue every time the family get together? Every time there's a family reunion, a family dinner, a family there, or just a random, a few of us are just going to the movies, but then you see them coming up. Okay, that's just too much snickering on the side that has to be done. No, we just going to put this out in the open. Y'all are disgusting. We don't want to be a part of this. Absolutely. Because if you don't say anything, what you're automatically saying is we condone this. We don't see anything wrong with it. Silence says just as much as if you open your mouth and say something. So absolutely. Because it's but so long, it's going to be all that side talk before now it's just this big blow up or somebody gets embarrassed at the dinner table and we don't be seeing enough of that. So, yeah, just everybody just say what needs to be said.
Okay. Pastor KL, listen, before you say, I want you all, hit me up. Let me know if you feel that something should be said. I'm interested in hearing what the listeners think. So just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down or, if you got more to say, I'll read it. Come on, you know who you are. Let me hear from you. Pastor KL, do you think this is something that they should speak to them about because they don't condone it?
Okay, so what's the ages again?
Kevin is in his 60s, and she, Denise, is in her 50s.
No, I don't think so. I think they need to mind their business. Unless they feel that she's a gold digger and she's just waiting for the insurance.
You know what I mean? Other than that, I mean, people love who they love. I don't think it's any of their business. Now, you know, if he was in his 60s and she in her 20s, yeah, then we got something to talk about because AARP ain't covering her. Mm-hmm. You know, so we need to figure this out. But yeah, I don't think it's any of their business, to be honest with you.
Okay. We got a hit. Somebody says no. You should not say anything. I'll weigh in. No, I don't think you should say anything. I agree. When I read that he's in his 60s and she's in her 50s, we find this disgusting and do not condone it. Should we approach them? No. These people are in senior citizenhood. Why am I talking to people who could be my grandparents about what they do? I agree with you, Pastor KL. No. You know, if what you're doing is wrong and at 60 and 50 you can't figure this out, then that's your business. Let God deal with you. I'm not bothering to say anything. Now, something that, you know, is draining on a family reunion? Yeah, I'm sure it is. Because now, you know, for the siblings, as a deceased, you know, knowing that our brother is deceased, and now the other brother's dating his daughter, our niece, yeah, that is disturbing. But at this age, only because they're at the age they are, I say leave them alone. I agree. Even if they were two younger people, I'd say something. Or if the male was, you know, if this were opposite. And, you know, they, no. But other than that, nah, leave them alone. Go ahead. Let them do their thing. Because, you know, maybe it'll kick in, maybe it won't. Oh, well. Oh, I got this O.J. Simpson piece of news here. Now, we all know that O.J. Simpson passed away. I don't know how many of us knew that he was even ill. And there's been a lot of controversy around this because there has been very few decent things that people have said since he's died. They say that when they announced his death, they immediately started showing the Bronco chase. They immediately started talking about the trial. They immediately started talking about he was still guilty, but never gave any sympathy or, you know, somebody died, you know, somebody died. So, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so died, you know, whether we still felt he was guilty or not, you know, it's been a smashing. So they have an article where his good friend, his longtime lawyer friend, says that he pretty much died alone, that his children with Nicole, the wife that was murdered, or the ex-wife that was murdered, that they had not been around him in more recent times, that they had, you know, stuck by him for quite a bit of time and, you know, kind of trickled off. He has two other children, and they were pretty much nowhere to be found, that he pretty much died alone. He's cremated. He was cremated. And, you know, everything has come up about the case and whether he was guilty or not and blah, 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 blah. And I wanted to know what you all thought about, you know, this here. And again, I'm going to throw Shantice the ball first.
Yeah, I had no idea that he was sick, let alone that he passed. Wasn't surprised at all to hear that there was an older shade thrown towards him. And even with hearing now that, you know, his family had, wasn't around him, it was like that. Like, how was he feeling? You know, probably knowing I'm dying. And ain't nobody around. And then, of course, you're putting, like, everything that's been going on throughout all these years. Well, I'm sure this one is saying this, and the people are on social media are saying this, and if I die, then it's not really going to be any type of, like, oh, it's going to be like, oh, well, they're going to be the white barnacle jokes and this, that. It's like, what was all of this going through his mind, you know, with it? And then I'm just hearing about this whole the other daughter thing, but the Kardashian thing. So it's like, now is there gonna be more talk amongst my kids and the public about that? And it just is like, wow. So it's to the point now where, you know, if this man really did this or not or whatever, he still died, you know. And I haven't seen a little bit that I've come across on social media randomly. I haven't seen anything where it's just like, you know, well, the passing of O.J. Simpson, oh, okay, it's just maybe a brief mention and that's it, whatever. Nothing from the children, nothing from the, things like that. What, there really wasn't any type of relationship? Wow.
Yeah, they have also that he won in the criminal case, but being that he lost in the civil case,
mm-hmm.
they're saying, like, once you lose a civil case, you're really guilty at that point. And I don't know, because I've never sat through both. I was not on, you know, on watching TV, you know, back in 94 and all of that kind of stuff when all of this was going on. But that's what they're saying. Yeah, civil case is the one for money. And they said that he owed, you know, he was sentenced to pay these people, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions or whatever, and now he never paid them a dime. Oh, gosh. So,
wow.
That he never paid a dime. He simply didn't have it. He didn't have it. And then if you remember, he ended up going to jail for something else. So, you know, that to me is always the shot in the dark. You know, you always, you know, get these civil cases where these people have to be paid millions of dollars. And y'all know good, well, these people ain't getting this money, especially
mm-hmm.
out of an individual. You know, the most times they're not getting
right.
this money. You know, all these people sitting up in jail, R. Kelly, all these people, they're not getting their money. They're not getting their money. I mean, whatever royalties.
Stop their
royalties.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
They stop. No, I'm saying you're right, because they stop their royalties from coming in, but then they summon them to get all this money. It's like, so you lock me up, you stop my royalties. How do you expect me to pay this now?
Right. So, you know, at this point, the children don't get any money either. You know, and whatever little bit has to go to the children first, as long as they are underage, and then, you know, it would go to, you know, whatever criminal, you know, the civil case. But, you know, Pastor KL, you know, I'm going to be honest. You know, I've been in the news ever since last week, Thursday. And the only news that I have seen is the fact that he is guilty. You know, he died guilty. You know, he just was not found guilty. The Bronco chase, and, you know, they had the Bronco chase on the TV, like, this was back in 1994, and this had just happened. This murder had just happened, and no mention of, you know, anything really good. I think they've had one line about how he was this great sports, this athlete, and he won some trophy or was the first one to run this many miles, and that was it. That was absolutely it. What's your thought? Are you talking to the mute button?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was. Yeah, first of all, I mean, I'm almost feeling embarrassed because I didn't even know he died. I guess that's how much
Are you serious?
That's how much I follow him. You know what I'm saying? Once he took off the glove, you know, I never followed him anymore.
You know what? The glove didn't fit, Pastor KL. It didn't fit in 94. That's why they had to acquit.
Okay. See, I'm more, you know, from know than I do. I'm at mix with that. And, you know, you would hear people chatter, you know, on people who's not famous. I never forget, I went to a funeral. You know, actually, I had to sing at the funeral. And, you know, there's a part in the funeral where they want people to get up and, you know, have a two-minute brief conversation, say what they feel. And this man came up there and said, hey, this man owed me money. Who's taking over the debt?
No.
At the mic.
Mm-mm.
He said, I just wanted to need to know at the end of this, who do I see about my money? So I'm not surprised at nothing. At nothing. You know, they're going to talk. You know, they're going to talk. You know, if you're a churchgoer, they're going to talk. You know, she ain't never pay no tithes. And then black folks, the first thing they're going to say about OJ is, you know, God don't like ugly. That's why he died. You know what I mean? It's gonna be crazy stuff. You know? So, I'm not surprised. I'm just not surprised. You know, you read what you sow. All of a sudden, black folks who ain't never went to church know scriptures.
Well, I got a question for everybody, and I want to know: do you think he did it? I'm just curious. Did you ever, you know, from based on what you heard, did you ever have a thought as to whether he did it or not? Let me hear from you. All right, Shantice, you were what, all of 20 years ago? You know,
right?
Because this will make 20 years of this. Occurrence. What did you think? I mean, I know you were a kid, but based on what you heard.
I heard if the glove don't fit, you must quit. Even with watching, because I actually watched the scripted series. I forgot what it was streaming on a few years ago. That's how I learned about, you know, the whole Kardashian thing. From what I remember seeing and hearing when it was the actual case and then watching that, I think he did. He just somehow swindled his way out of getting caught. You know, not only caught actually doing it, but even with the people who had Johnny Cochran and all that. I think he did.
Okay.
I believe that if he didn't have someone as savvy as Johnny Cochran, who didn't know how to be a good criminal defense lawyer,
mm-hmm.
That whole thing would have crumbled right in his face.
Okay. What made you believe that he was guilty?
Just all of the, I can't remember exactly, because I'm trying to think about even like the scripted one, because like you said, I remember the actual case. The only thing I really remember was, of course, the whole glove scene in there, and then the verdict. The verdict, because I'll never forget, I was in my babysitter house when they announced the verdict. But even with thinking about the scripted one, I don't know, it was just the way everything was like laid out, the way they laid out the timeline, the way they laid out how she was murdered, how the person was supposedly coming through the side of the house. It was just the way it was just laid out, and like his whole demeanor, you know, with this and the whole Bronco chase. And we know that there are some silly people who are innocent, but because of the way they move, they just make themselves look guilty. We know that, you know. And it's like, okay, so why are you running if you're innocent? You know, like, we understand that there are some instances like that. But just the way everything was just laid out and the way they described their relationship, the way their relationship was described, it was just like, it was just like, the more they went into the details, the more sus, meaning suspicious, they looked.
Okay. We have a, I'll leave that till afterwards. Pastor KL, did you ever come to a thought as to whether he was guilty or innocent?
Yeah, I thought he was guilty, but for selfish reasons, I said I was happy because one of us finally got away. You know what I mean? I mean, I was like, we finally got away, you know. But although the whole thing, I thought he was guilty. You know, one of us got away, and it was one of us who allowed him to get away. You know what I mean? It was Johnny Cochran, so it was one of us, you know what I mean, who fought for us, you know, to get away. So I thought it was a win-win. Now, of course, you know, if you're on the other side of the fence, you see the lose-lose. But, you know, we've lost so long. Give us one.
Oh, my God.
Even if he just split her throat, give us one.
Oh, my God. And the man that they could never determine whether it was her boyfriend or not.
Right.
So don't just give us one. Give us two. in actuality. What made you believe that he was guilty?
It was just so suspect. He was in too many places. You know what I mean? That made it line up. You know, the glove is what got him off. I mean, that's the best rap from any rapper you ever known. You know what I mean? That is the signature rap right there. It should go on the Guinness Book of Records. You know what I mean? If it don't fit, he must have quit. You know, and that's what took him to the throne. But I mean, Bronco was there, he was there. You know what I'm saying? They got into an argument. It was too much that was against him. You know, but, you know, listen, if God be for you, who can be against
you? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we have a listener that says, I think he did it, but they couldn't prove it. I honestly never came to a conclusion. I didn't. I know, you know, people say, oh, he did it, all the evidence was there. He just was savvy enough, you know, not to be able to get caught. The Johnny Cochran thing, as you both have said, was the, you know, the nail that he needed, and he got it. You know, they were saying that, you know, how he was strong enough that he had a friend. He had somebody, an accomplice, rather. They said that, you know, he was strong enough that, you know, if he caught one of them off guard, that he could have actually, you know, done both murders. But, you know, for those who questioned, you know, how could he do this by himself, that's when, you know, they were like, well, somebody had to be with him, all the people he knew. He's probably got another athlete. So they, you know, they had, you know, a lot of people had a lot to throw into the bucket. I just never came to a conclusion as to whether he did it or not. I think I was with the people who said he didn't do it, but he probably knew who did do it. He may have hired someone. So I don't think he might be as oblivious to everything, but I never was able to come up with, you know, any conclusion. You know, I always laugh because one of the most famous lines or questions outside of if the glove don't fit, you must have quit, was, what did you think of the OJ verdict? That was the thing to ask back in, you know, in 94. 95. You know, it's like, well, you know, what do you think of the OJ verdict? You know, and I remember, as to Pastor KL's point, I remember they showed the reactions, you know, when they, you know, people had been watching it. And I remember, like, this whole class of college students jumping up and, you know, cheering. And, you know, like Pastor KL said, you know, a lot of people were just happy, not because he got off for the murder, was that, but we got off. You know, it wasn't a cheer for, you know, the murderer. It was a cheer for the black man who, you know, and the black man who got him off. So, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. You know, of course, you know, they say, you know, people die and, you know, all the bad things come up. I just got a question real quick. What of the saying, you can't speak ill of the dead? What do you think about that saying, Shantice?
Why? What they gonna say?
Oh gosh,
they're dead.
Oh my gosh.
I think that question just shuts the conversation down. Now if you able to tell me what their rebuttal is going to be, then you need to go see somebody. Because first, you taking this real personal, like, y'all on the side having a conversation.
Mm. Oh, my goodness, boy. Just so simple. Pastor KL, I hate this saying, oh, you need to, you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. Or, don't speak ill of the dead. What's your thought when you hear that comment?
You know, for some folks that die, there's nothing good to say about them. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you don't want to say, well, I'm glad he or she is dead. You know, so what they say now, see, this is what y'all don't understand, this concept. So they don't say, I'm glad he's dead. They say, he's in a better place. You know what I mean? Now, where that place is, we don't know, but if I hated him, he in hell, he's in a better place.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, every time I hear a person say that, you know, you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. Well, if that's what they did, they did. You know, as Kanan would say on Power, you know, if they say he did it, then he did it. You know, how do you speak ill of somebody who ain't here no more? If they did it, they did it. If they didn't, they didn't. And I never put it so eloquently as Shanti's just did. Wow, what they gonna say?
But you know what?
That was always my thought.
Listen, but in hindsight, you know, though we thought it was a bad place for this guy to bring this up, yeah, he want to know, what about his money? If
right.
I loan Pookie $200, you know, say, listen, somebody need to chip in. You know, give me a flower or something. One of these plants belong to me.
Well, listen, if you loan Pookie $200, you knew Pookie wasn't about nothing to begin with. That's your loss. Because I don't know a Pookie out here who is really all that, you know, a model citizen. So if you took a chance on loaning Pookie $200, then you knew that was a risk to begin with.
Well, okay, now watch this now. Watch it. I want you to follow this now. You know, me and Pookie, we've been trading money. You know, I lend him money, he pay me back. Now, this is where you get that thing that says, gone too soon.
Because this was on the time when he was supposed to pay you back.
That's
not
right.
When you were supposed to borrow.
That's
oh my
right.
Gosh, I can't.
If
I
had one more day, Pookie would have paid me my money. Yeah.
He said on Thursday.
That's right. That's right. He died Wednesday.
He said on Thursday. Right. They shot him on Wednesday. Oh,
somebody
my God.
Somebody need to check his pocket. Whatever's in his pockets belong to me.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, my due time crew, for always coming through big time, as they say, as we say here on It's Due Time with Pastor. Thank you so much, Pastor KL. We pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thank you. Mm-mm-mm. Well, Shantice, it's about that time. It's about 8:40 on a Thursday morning. What you got for us?
Okay, so this week on Pray for Them, gracious, we are praying for Sierra Gates. She is a Love and Hip Hop Atlanta cast reality star. And I was actually looking at another celebrity for this week, but came across Sierra Gates' Instagram video that she posted a couple of days ago. I don't think it was yesterday, a couple of days ago. But she has been hospitalized because she went and got a leg sleeve tattoo. So anyone who is not hip to the tattoo lingo, anytime someone says, I got an arm sleeve or a leg sleeve, or that means your entire arm, your entire leg is covered in a tattoo. And we know typically people who, well, they always say, like, for the most part, people get addicted to tattoos. You get one, the next thing you know, you go back for another and another and another. So generally, especially for women, what will happen is if I say I have an arm sleeve, then there may be a few different tattoos, or throughout the course of maybe a few weeks, a couple of months, I've gotten this work done on my arm. Not Sierra Gates. She goes, and she was cautioned by her tattoo artist, who this was not her first time getting work done by him. She's had a few tattoos done by him, so this was someone she obviously trusts, but because she wanted to do what she wanted to do, he cautioned her not to get this leg sleeve tattoo done in one day. She wanted it done at once. This tattoo goes from the bottom of her stomach, so pretty much like her bikini line, a little above her bikini line, all the way down to her calf. And her entire leg is covered in this tattoo. And I'm looking at this and I'm trying to figure out what type of tattoo this is. It almost kind of looks like the henna tattoo that they get done on their hand, which if you've done any research on that, you know that's already, but it's for her whole entire thigh, her knee, her leg, the bikini line, a little above her bikini line is covered in this tattoo. And because she did not listen, there's some complications that's going on now. Not only that, but she used a product called Monster Numb when she got this tattoo done. Now, Monster Numb, I pulled it up on Instagram. The bio reads, number one numbing cream for tattoos, piercings, permanent makeup, and more. Brand ambassadors, there's two. She's listed as one. Launching April 26th. So.
Oh.
This ain't even hit the market yet. And one of the things that, before it got to the launching date, because I read the information in order that it is in the bio, you were probably so hyped too that your name was on here as a brand ambassador, because as a reality star, this is what keeps you relevant. Doing things like this is what keeps you relevant. Doing things like this is what helps to keep money in your pocket. Then I looked at their stats, right? They got three posts. They're following four people, but they got 9,000 followers. And I've always been real sus about accounts like this. Like, how you got 9,000 followers, three posts, and your cream, your product ain't even launched yet? How does this work? But nonetheless, you done stood by this numbing cream, and in her video, she said that she used this cream and it numbed her leg. She didn't feel anything. But once the numbing cream wore off, all hell broke loose. Said the pain was excruciating. It's really, really bad. Says, please keep me in your prayers and all this. And we're lifting her up in prayer because there's so many different aspects to this. You really have to make sure that this whole tattoo thing, with the way everything is going on out here nowadays, where we can't even trust watermelon and grapes and all of that, I'm really going to continue to trust. I don't care how long I've been knowing you, but we're really going to trust people to be clean and sanitize their things, and especially when these are popular tattoo artists, they have a lot of clientele. Sometimes they're busy. I've heard stories from tattoo artists that I know, as far as people coming to them and they can tell their skin isn't clean and so on and so forth. So yet we're still doing this whole tattoo thing. Okay, so now you bypass that. Now you get to the point of you've been cautioned by said tattoo artist, whether he said don't get this tattoo at all or don't get this done in one sitting. And even in her video, she admitted, but because I did what I wanted to do, I went and got this done against the professionals' caution. Then we have to pray that you keep yourself around people who are going to stand their ground. Yesterday on Is Due Time with Pastor Steph, we spoke about having moral courage, which means that despite what the streets say, despite popular belief, you stand up for what you know is right. If I'm the tattoo artist and I'm telling you why you should not get this done, I'm not going to now allow you to talk me into this. And now, well, Sierra stood up for her tattoo artist. She should. She should. But even then, I don't want you to have to stand up for me, because if I tell you you shouldn't get this and it's a no, I don't want my name along with the numbing cream and their product ain't launched out yet as to why this just went left. I don't want no part. Okay? Then, of course, we definitely have to pray over her health, because nothing was listed. She didn't mention exactly what the complications were in her video. Maybe she didn't know yet, because it looked like she probably just got to the hospital. She was probably just admitted. But even the articles that I read, I didn't come across anything that stated like, okay, well, this is the issue, that's the issue. So just praying over her body overall. We know you can get something done in your toe and now you need surgery on your brain. Like, there's just so many different things that go on with our body that we know nothing about, that catches the doctors off, you know, off whack a lot of the time. So just praying overall for her health, praying that they just stop mutilating their bodies. This is one woman who has been under the knife for cosmetic surgery plenty of times as well. Just praying that this just stops, not just for her, but this will also speak to other people in the industry. So stop with all of these tattoos, stop with this cosmetic surgery, because you just have to have the look. So my question now is, now how are you dressing? Because you're getting a tattoo that goes from above your bikini line all the way down pretty much your ankle. We can just imagine the type of clothes she's going to be wearing to show this off, because no one is sitting through that and then they're not going to show this tattoo off every chance that they get. So just praying for her mentality overall, praying for her self-esteem and how she looks at herself. She has children. She has a daughter and a son. So praying that they don't look at this and admire it, but that they look at this and this turns them off from wanting to get any tattoos or anything done. And praying for the tattoo artist that this will be a testament to him, that when I get the notion to caution one of my clients to not get something, I'm going to stick by it, because God forbid this gets even worse. Whether she stands up for him or not, his name is attached to this going left. So praying for him as well and anyone else in that whole tattoo world. But, yeah, this is just as trivial as this may sound. You know, like, again, it's just so many different things was just popping out to me as I was watching her video and reading these articles. And we just really have to stop wanting to be out there so bad that we're even associating ourselves with brands that haven't even established any type of notoriety or anything. It's silly.
All right. Woo. It's a lot to a lot to consider in this story and in this life. Sierra, what's her last name?
Yes, Sierra Gates.
Gates, okay, all right. Let's hold hands and hold hearts for Sierra Gates. Heavenly Father God, our great creator, the one who knows all, the one who declared that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you this morning because you make no mistakes in any life. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for knowing you, and we thank you for introducing yourself to us so that we could even exercise the ability to lift up Sierra Gates.
Amen.
Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for her life period and her telling her story, that it's not behind the scenes, whether she's doing it for notice or whether she's doing it to bring some awareness, whether it's a little bit of both. We thank you for her opening up her mouth, and we're praying that it cautions others. It brings this whole tattooing and self-mutilation and all the things that we do, period, not just the tattooing, but the piercing and all the other ways we destroy our body, the temple that belongs to you. And, Lord, we just ask you to introduce yourself to her. Make yourself known to her in a way that no one else has ever presented you to her before. That the body that she has opted to push the envelope with when she was warned not to go through with this procedure or to this degree, that she did not take heed. And we pray to Heavenly Father that now she gets it. You know, sometimes we all have to walk into a mess before we finally get it. And we're praying to Heavenly Father that this is her time, that this could have been a time that, you know, some poisons could have been, you know, placed in her body to the degree that it killed her. We just got finished praying for, or talking about, rather, the anesthesiologist who's poisoning people. And, Lord, we know that there have been other instances where the ink has been poisonous. So, Lord, for whatever the reason is, he, you know, the tattoo artist tried to talk her out of it. For whatever the reason is, we thank you for what it could have been that it was not. So we come before you, dear Heavenly Father, asking you to be with her, asking you to be with the tattoo artist, someone who you gave direction to, but because of whatever it was, he opted to go into the opposite direction. We ask you, God, to just help him understand how you communicate with him. That was nothing else but you communicating with him. And, Lord, we pray that right now he understands the magnitude of his decisions, the magnitude of him standing his ground, as Shantice would say, the magnitude of him understanding it and standing his ground and be willing to lose the client. Because that's his responsibility. That's the responsibility that's been given to him. So we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to introduce yourself to him in a special way. That every person that is involved, as well as anyone who hears what has happened, that they would learn from this particular occurrence. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that she now sounds the alarm as to who you are and how you spared her life and how you kept this from being fatal or much emergent than it was when she was able to go in to the hospital talking, that she wasn't unconscious. Thank you, Father. There's so many things that could have happened here. But your stay in hand held it all together. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to even be with the numbing cream manufacturing company. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to give them a concern that they have not had up to this point. That it is not a matter of just getting the product out there. But they're in the business for caring for people. Once we make products like this, it's now you're caring for people. And let them take it seriously. Give them the understanding that they need. Give them the care and the concern and the love for the public that they need. Help them to be honest, to build integrity, to show love. You've given them an opportunity, and we pray that they now take the proper steps to make sure that everyone is safe. Lord, we pray for every single life involved. We pray for the doctors. We pray for the nursing staff. We pray for everyone who's had anything to do with her. The post-care is so crucial right now because so many things can happen. And, Lord, the maker of her body, the creator of her, we ask you, God, to allow this to be a lesson. Whatever it needs to be, God, make her aware of the responsibility that she has to you and the responsibility that she has to the public. You've allowed her her name to ring out there. And we pray, God, that every one of these entertainers and athletes, they would stand up and take responsibility for what they've been given and what they've been allowed to have. Lord, we lift up everyone we talked about in the news today, God. Each and every individual that we talked about today, God. We're asking you, God, to raise up your people so that we can join forces and help to turn this world around. Your word says that if my people who are called by my name, for those of us who know we're attached to you, dear Heavenly Father, give us the courage. Give us the words. Give us the ability to be able to sound the alarm that Jesus saves, and we all need that Savior. We're giving you the glory and the honor today, God, for paying the bills. Sierra Gates may never know we're praying for her, but you do. And we're asking you very humbly, God, to just clear up this mess and, again, allow an enormous amount of people to understand the dangers in this procedure and practice that we go through so easily. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Shantis.
You're welcome.
All right, have a nice day.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. You know, I don't think people understand that, you know, God's allowance renders us responsible for what we do. Once we're given this ability, we don't have the option of just doing with it what we want to do with it. And, you know, I think a lot of times we miss that. You know, all these, you know, entertainers and these people, you know, they say, you know, I'm not no role model, and I didn't get into this to do this, and I didn't get into this to do that. You don't know why God allowed you to get to where you are. You know, this assumption that you know what you are doing here and why you're at this point in your life. You know, that's why we need to really tap into God, the one who knows everything about our life. I just can't imagine, you know, people looking around at this world. I just told you earlier, I had nothing different in the mail but just tragic stuff. Just tragic. Sometimes, you know, I'll get some things that are funny. Sometimes I'll get things that make you go, wow. But to where it's gotten, where you can't even open up the news and pull out anything, extract anything, you know, that's simply amusing or just informative. It's sad. And for us to sit and hear this day in and day out, because you're going to get these, you're going to get some form of crazy news throughout the day. Some form of crazy news throughout the day. And when you ignore that, when you hear these things and you don't realize how blessed we are that we're not the news, how blessed we are that we're not that woman who got poked in the face. You know, there was another story the other day of a woman who was walking and the man just punched her in the face. I did a story, you know, many times we hear, you just happen to be where these people are. The woman who was on the steps of the church, just this random attack. This can be us. We just have this assumption that it cannot be us. I'm sorry, it can be us. And if there's no other time that God is indicating that this is what we are going to face until Jesus returns, and most of us probably won't be here then, but the scary part for me is, considering that I don't know my last day, I need to live each day as though it's my last day. And it's ignored. You're looking at the peril we're in. You're looking at how crazy this world is. You cannot trust your doctors. They didn't say what type of surgery these people were going for, that this anesthesiologist was covering them. It says that he was an anesthesiologist in a clinic. And to think that these people would just tamper, that this is how wicked and perverted your world and your mind and your life is, that you could actually tamper with the very thing that you've been governed over. You've been governed over our life as an anesthesiologist. Do you realize that they spend their time there just watching you, making sure you're okay? And this is what they do. Let's get it together and give our life to the Lord. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Jesus your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any one of us. Please don't miss us tonight. We will be on YouTube Live and Facebook Live, A Closer Walk Christian Talk Show YouTube channel, as we are actually going to talk about the winners of the 2024 Writers Guild Awards. Join us. We are also going to talk about the Good Times animated series. What are you going to think? Until then, I love you.